Now, I want to give you an idea of what else we have coming up this week while I'm thinking about it. First of all, let me mention two guests who we'll hear from this week. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we'll hear from Dr. Caroline Frazier. I want to ask you something. How many of you used to watch Little House on the Prairie with Laura Ingalls? And I think she got married at a certain point in her life, and I think her name may have been then Laura Ingalls Wilder. Little House on the Prairie. It's one of the programs where I think probably, I don't remember her father's name, character name, on the program, but I think the first time I saw him is when he played Little Joe on Bonanza with his father and Hoss. Yeah, I remember Big Hoss. Yeah, so I'm just thinking now, there are probably quite a few of us who watched it back in the day. Michael Landon playing Charles Ingalls, the father of Laura Ingalls. Laura Ingalls played by Melissa Gilbert. I'm trying to remember what show I first saw her in. I don't think it was Little House on the Prairie. It may have been, though. I think I probably did see her first on Little House on the Prairie. And then after that show stopped running, she was, you know, a little older because none of us stays the same age. I saw her on some other program. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Little House on the Prairie. Quite a few of us used to watch that. Well, that show was based on a real person whose name was Laura Ingalls, played again by Melissa Gilbert. And Dr. Caroline Frazier is going to be giving us more of the story of Laura Ingalls, who became Laura Ingalls Wilder, as she speaks with us from her book, Prairie Fires, American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. She will be our guest tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Dr. Caroline Frazier. I definitely want you to be listening in to find out more about this woman who was truly a woman of courage, Laura Ingalls Wilder. Based again, true events that centered on a real person, Dr. Caroline Frazier, tomorrow at 1. On Thursday, Dr. Chris McKinney of Augusta University is going to join us, and he's going to talk about that wonderful merger between innovating and commercializing, taking that innovation and turning it into a bona fide business. I'm wondering, how many of us have ideas for a product or service, and we just want to get some ideas of how to turn the idea into a business? Augusta University is helping people with that very thing routinely. Dr. Chris McKinney, who helps to oversee the Innovation Commercialization Center at Augusta University, will be our guest, giving us some information and inspiring us at the same time. 1 o'clock this Thursday. Go to speakingwith.com. Check out this week's guests and topics for more information. And remember, the site is now optimized for smartphone use. And so whether you prefer to listen on your laptop, your desktop, or your smartphone, is there for you. speakingwith.com. And for those of you who want to check out this week's guests and topics, you can do that. I know some of you are saying, hey, you know, I don't mind finding out in advance who the guests and what the topics will be. But sometimes I'm just really, really on the run. All I want to do is just start listening. Cool. No problem. Because all you're going to do is go to the homepage, speakingwith.com, click on listen online at your convenience. And you'll simply scroll down to the guest or topic you want to hear, click on it, and then the segments will come up. Click on the segments you want to hear. You want to hear segment one? Click it and listen. You want to go right to segment two? Once you finish segment one, cool. Click segment two, listen to it. Things are going well, but you just don't have time to listen to segment three, no problem, because the program's going to be there. Whether you want to come back several hours later, a couple of days later, just go to the same place and click on segment three, listen to it, you're done. Segment four, that's how it works. Three easy clicks. Listen online at your convenience is your first link to click on, then the guest or the topic that you want to click on, and then the segment that you want to hear. That's the way it works. Glad that we have it optimized for you, for your smartphone use too. All right. Now, I want us to be inspired by some really, really, I think, heroic people. Any of you ever had something going wrong with your body and you just thought to yourself, you know what? With this issue that I'm having to deal with week after week, month after month, I'm just not feeling it. I don't want to be bothered with this. And you start thinking about just maybe chilling as much as you can, as long as you can, just chilling, just doing the bare minimum of movement, you know, get up off the couch, go use the bathroom, get up off the couch, go to the kitchen, go to work if you're working. But as far as getting out there and doing any kind of exercise, I mean, it's truly exercise. I know, you know, moving the body from the couch to the front door is better than just laying on the couch 24/7. I get that. But when I talk about exercise, I'm talking about a routine where you're moving that body 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And because of what's going on with you, you're saying, nah, I'm just going to take it easy as much as I can. Some people may have to do that depending on their condition, but a lot of people don't. How many of you either have multiple sclerosis or you know someone who has it? Maybe you've heard about it and you don't have a whole lot of information on it, but what you've heard did not sound good. Well, for at least two Mondays, this Monday and next Monday, I want us to focus for a while, for some portion of Monday, on multiple sclerosis, also known as MS. Multiple sclerosis, also known as MS. I want to start each time by telling you a little bit about someone who is dealing with, living with, living through multiple sclerosis, MS. And it really is going to be an inspirational moment. It's going to be a motivational moment because these are going to be people who are living with MS, but they're living well while living with MS. Starting today with Dawn Melanie Green. This lady, while dealing with MS, was a successful competitive fitness competitor. A successful fitness competitor, bodybuilding, and not like the people who, you know, eat and eat and eat and eat and pump the heaviest weights and use steroids, some kind of drug to, as they put it, enhance their exercise routine. And so they get swollen by the drugs that they're using. Dawn Melanie Green wasn't with that crowd. She wasn't with that crew. No, she did. She was not a lady who had huge muscles like a man. Nope, not that crowd. She didn't compete with that group. She worked with the group that worked hard, but they kept it natural. She had begun her exercise routine before having been diagnosed with MS. But check out her response, March 11th, 1999, when her doctor told her she had multiple sclerosis. What do you think you'd say? What would you think? What would you feel? What would you say if your doctor, after having run the tests and obtained the test results, called you back to his office and reported to you that you have multiple sclerosis. Let me tell you what Dawn's response was. Quote, end quote. Great. I'm telling you the truth now. This is for real. When he told her she had MS, her response was great. Now, granted, that's not a typical expected response from a 26-year-old receiving that kind of news. She was 26 when she received the report that she had MS. That was her reaction to the receipt of an official diagnosis of MS. Her doctor informed her of treatments that could be used to slow the progression. And even though she heard him say those words, she processed those words to mean things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. That's what she was thinking at the time that she received the diagnosis. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, sure, she could say that then. But what about 3 days later, 3 weeks later, when the impact of that news really began to settle in and start to weigh on her? Well, you know, a lot of times a person is told that they have cancer. The moment at which they're told they have cancer is when they hit the hardest. That's when they have the most difficult time dealing with the report. She got this report of MS, multiple sclerosis, which, of course, is not cancer. But I just mentioned the cancer just to make the point. Sometimes the moment that you are first notified is the hardest moment to deal with. The moment she was notified of MS, Dawn said, great. She was convinced that things were going to get better because she was going to address it head on. And that had a positive influence on her. And her thing was she was going to do everything in her power to maintain her quality of life. She had begun exercising, I think she said, about 8 years before she was diagnosed with MS. And she made up her mind she was going to continue to live a great, healthy lifestyle, including exercising, competing. Now, check this out. She doesn't try to make it seem like this is just a feel-good story. She points out that due to her MS, she had to deal with heat intolerance. And so she had to discontinue her weekly Sunday morning 100K bike rides. Can you imagine every week, every Sunday morning, going out to do a 100K bike ride? The bike ride in and of itself is not what caused problems for her. Remember what she said now. It was the heat intolerance that was giving her trouble. So it was being outdoors, especially during the summer, that made it difficult for her to continue to ride the bike. So she had to give that up. She had increasing tremors in her right hand and her right leg. As you can imagine, this challenged her stability. There was a deafness in her right ear that would also make it difficult for her, if not almost impossible, for her to hear car horns being blown to warn her, to alert her that she may have been getting ready to veer into their path or whatever. So dedicating time in a slow-paced, climate-controlled gym would be compatible with her doing everything in her power to deal with, to cope with MS. So that's what she did. She started working out in a slow-paced, climate-controlled gym. And as far as she was concerned, the competition had just begun. And I just want to tell you again, the lady is truly a competitor. She continued to do her thing, working out, competing, and she was winning. I mean, some first place finishes. She was competing. You read her story, you hear her story, I can tell you it was up and down. I mean, there were times when she had to lay out for a while because that MS was really throwing her for a loop. She would not stop. When I say she wouldn't stop, when she could not work out, she could not work out. But what I mean, when I say she would not stop, she would not give up. And even though I think she may have actually retired from competition, she's still working out, keeping herself as healthy as she possibly can. Now, I'm going to be sharing some more information about MS with you, courtesy of Everyday Health and Mayo Clinic. With the clinic, we'll take a look at what multiple sclerosis actually is. And then we're going to take a look at some steps that people are taking to live well with MS, so that whether it's you who's dealing with MS or someone you know who's dealing with it, you just want to know. You don't have it. No one you know has it. But you've heard of MS and you've wanted to know more about that. Never know when you might meet someone who does have MS, and they might be able to benefit from this information if you share it with them. So let's first take a look at what MS is. I deliberately wanted you to hear that motivational story, true motivational story first. Now, what is multiple sclerosis? It's a potentially disabling disease of the brain and spinal cord, the central nervous system. In MS, the immune system, actually, the person's own immune system actually attacks this protective sheath that covers nerve fibers. That protective sheath is called myelin, M-Y-E-L-I-N, myelin. This is a protective sheath that covers the nerve fibers. And when the immune system attacks it, that's when things start going wrong. The immune system attacks the person's own immune system, attacks their own protective sheath that covers the nerve fibers, and it causes communication problems between the person's brain and the rest of their body. Eventually, the disease can cause the nerves themselves to deteriorate or become permanently damaged. Signs and symptoms of MS can vary widely, and they really depend on the amount of nerve damage and which nerves are affected. Some people with severe MS may lose the ability to walk independently, or they may lose the ability to walk at all, while other people may experience long periods of remission without any new symptoms. That's good news. Long periods of remission with no new symptoms. Here's the thing, though. There's no cure for multiple sclerosis. There's no cure. That's not good news, that there's no cure. However, treatments can help speed recovery from attacks. They can also modify the course of the disease and manage the symptoms. And that's the good news. It's not something that we can't do anything about. So, what can we do? What can a person who has MS do in order to make their lives as rich as possible, as full as possible, as satisfying as possible? Well, one of the things you can do, and you'll be amazed at how some of the things that we all need to be doing, even though we have no diseases, also applies to people who do have diseases such as MS. Food. Pay close attention to what you're eating. Multiple sclerosis is an inflammatory condition, according to neurologist Dr. Mary Rensel, who's a staff neurologist. And she says that she's at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, and she says there's really no specific diet for MS, but they do recommend an anti-inflammatory diet that includes lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as whole grains and healthy oils. Now, again, we're still, even with the healthy oils deal, we're still talking about oils that you consume. Not talking here about some type of oil that you can massage into the muscles, etc. No, we're still talking about what can be consumed. So whole grains, healthy oils, lots of fresh fruits and veggies. They recommend that you actually try eating a diet that is rich in omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. You can get these in fatty fish like tuna, salmon, mackerel, plant-based oils, and flaxseed. I know some of you like to eat different types of breakfast cereals, and so one of the things that you can do is consider grinding up your flaxseed and sprinkling it on your foods, like your breakfast cereals, even yogurt. You may want to consider getting some flavored yogurt that you really like the flavor of and sprinkle some ground up flaxseed on that yogurt. Again, your cereal. And let that do what it'll do. According to a review of MS Alternative Therapeutic Approaches published in the journal Expert Review of Clinical Immunology, diets that are low fat but include omega-3s actually hold promise as a way to manage MS symptoms. And although there are no definitive studies right now, they're saying that they really are safe to try. Now, think about some of the recommendations made for just being healthy in general. And as you think about that, tell me this. What other steps do you think a person could take to help them manage MS? Because remember now, barring a miracle, at this point, it's not going to go away. I said barring a miracle, and miracles do happen. But barring a miracle, the MS won't go away, but it can be managed. All right, so we talked about the significance of being, you know, very aware of what you're eating to help manage the symptoms of MS. What else can we do? You got it. You can think about moving your body. Yes. Moving your body. Let's look at that some more when I come back.